back, guys. DGS on KMOX 306. My buddy John Moriarty is here from E3 Wealth. Always good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
You always look sharp.
It's a nice day out today, Dave.
Yeah.
You gotta dress nice.
You're dressed for it. I love what we're going to talk about. So we'll talk about a bunch of things, but we're going to start with SpaceX.
Yes.
And this whole crazy thing.
Yes.
That a guy like me is just like, me not know these words.
Yeah, there's a lot of firsts. So it's the largest IPO in history, raised about $75 billion. Also created minted the first trillionaire, Elon Musk, with on paper, right?
Like, right.
Obviously, but I mean, I'm sure he can do something with
that.
We could
do a whole segment on that.
Yes. Yeah. And how he's built it with his companies.
Yeah.
And yeah. Another thing that's interesting with it. So this was with IPOs, one of the issues or challenges that retail investors run into is the access to it, right? Like this idea of, can you get me in on the IPO? For a lot of retail investors, it's not really accessible until it hits the market. And normally when it hits the market, if it's a good IPO, it kind of jumps in price. Where you have institutions, the investment banks that are kind of putting the deal together, they're getting those shares that are going to be on the market. Those are probably set aside for their top clients. With this IPO, they actually had 20% of the offering available to retail investors. So that was... normally, maybe there's 5 to 10%. So that was a new thing. The other thing that we've kind of talked about with folks is the idea that with this size company and the number of people that are involved as employees, there's gonna be like hundreds and hundreds of like millionaires that are, you know, especially like in Austin. We have an office down there, and there's a lot of folks that work for SpaceX, which you got SpaceX that includes Starlink, that also includes X, you know, formerly Twitter. All of those businesses were kind of rolled into.
Didn't realize that.
Yes. Yeah. The interesting thing is the only division in the company right now that is actually turning a profit is Starlink. Yeah. So the other ones are losing money, which is when you look at the revenue that's being generated by the company and you look at the price of the company when it initially became available at $135, I think it was like 80 times revenue, which is like kind of crazy for it to be priced. And right now I just looked, I think it's trading at over $190. So it's already gone from 135, where they offered it, up to like 190.
Okay. You could probably talk to me for an hour and I would still stare at you like a dog.
Yeah.
But help me to understand how that makes any sense.
Yeah. So what I would say is people that are invested in SpaceX now are investing in kind of that first to market, like the opportunity of where is technology going? Where is space travel going? Like all of that stuff that Elon talks about and a lot of people are looking at. They're investing to be in now because they think in 10, 20, 30 years when things materialize, I'll look back on getting into it and say, wow, that, you know, it's like if you look at where Amazon was when it came out, or Apple, or, you know, all of these companies that you invested early and you stayed in and maybe you reinvested as you got dividends or whatever, you've made some really good money. And there's a lot of examples of that. It's not just the tech companies. You could do that with General Electric going back, or you could do that with Berkshire Hathaway with, you
so
know.
Do companies like that that maybe start out with, I'm taking a shot on this guy. He's not making a lot of revenue. I can't justify it that way, but I'm taking a shot. Do they always, if they stick around, eventually start making revenue?
Possibly. I mean, there's nothing that says SpaceX is going to grow and turn into the company that people think. But
okay,
it's
back when our parents were investing.
Yes.
Was it different? Like you needed a company to actually make a profit?
Yes. But what I would say is there was less access to information, right? Like you opened the paper.
Yes, literally.
And you read, you know, where the ticker was and everything. So you could keep track that way. But today, I mean, as we were talking before he came on air, like I'm sure there's tons of people that were having conversations with their AI about SpaceX and asking those questions about, is this a good investment? Should I get in now? Or what's the chance this company succeeds? Like, where's his challenges? And those are legitimate conversations to be having with your AI, because there's a lot of information they could pull in to give you, which I would say I would rather get that information than no information. Mm-hmm. Maybe you talk to a financial professional. Maybe they understand it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're trying to figure it out just like everybody else is.
Yeah.
But I would say there used to be the thought of you invest in companies that are making your blue chips, right? And taking a flyer on somebody, you know, in the early 2000s, that would have been doing Amazon or doing something. This online bookstore
right.
that's going to now deliver packages. That sounds crazy. Well, worked out for Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, the online Facebook and Google and, an internet search company, like how are they going to make money? Well, you know, they evolve, they figure things out. They grow, they get a lot of cash, they start buying businesses. And so I would say with SpaceX, it's definitely more of it's first to market. The big thing and the push that they're making is the idea that they're going to get these satellites out into space. That's going to drive revenue and opportunities because, you know, under it, you have Starlink, you have SpaceX, you have X, and you have all the other ancillary businesses that they're probably going to buy. And that's going to kind of, they're going to build it into what's more of like a holding company is probably what you're going to see over time.
I was telling Jomo that I kind of lived this on a very small scale when my partner Scott Rutledge and I had Foxpaw, the orange kiosk and Schnucks and Walmarts that fixed your phone. We did very, very well over the few years we had it, mostly because Scott is a brilliant businessman. I just was lucky enough to come up with the original idea. That's why I own part of the company. And we started shopping it to equity firms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And two or three of them were very nice, very complimentary to us, but they're like, here's the problem. You guys are making a profit, which we thought was great.
Right.
That's why we came to work every day to make a profit. They're like, that's not really not what we're looking for. We like to find companies who aren't making a profit, and we think we can turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, or even companies in the tech space that they have a lot of users, but they're not making revenue, right? So they want a pre-revenue company because the potential and how they can build it and raising capital. And sometimes the idea for the private equity side is how can we get capital deployed? Not, okay, well, should we just go with this one? They would rather deploy it to 10. If two or three are successful, they're home runs, everything works, that's like their model.
Yeah.
But they got this capital and they have to do something with it.
So I have missed the boat financially in this lifetime. I just have. I don't like money. It gives me a stomach ache. So I'm like Mr. 401k guy, mm-hmm. right? For the people out there who are more aggressive than me, are they missing out by not using AI in their investing?
I would say if you're not trying to understand how AI could be of benefit to you. And if it is with investing, I think that there's an area there. Some AI tools might lean more towards the financial side. The way I explain it is, it's no different than using internet or encyclopedia. If you can find a source of knowledge that can accelerate the time in which you get something done or you make a decision, I don't understand how that couldn't be good for you. But again, you want to use it for good and not evil.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So I would rather use it to learn something about stock market versus like con somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So you're obviously a money guy.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt you have problems with people making tons of money. It's what you do for a living. You help them to do that. Did the T give you a moment of pause at all?
I didn't realize that when they first kind of came out with it. I had to kind of go back and do the math in my head. But yeah, it was a little bit of a pause. I mean, you hear billionaire. And now that, you know, that term's being used way more often and it sort of desensitizes it. And then you hear trillionaire. Yeah, that was a little interesting. And what does that mean? You know, just like, okay, now we're in that space. And what I think it means is for folks who don't understand like how inflation is really impacting things right now, the loss of purchasing power, things are costing more. So everything that is being put into growth, you know, money is going to places where it can try and stay ahead of inflation. And I think that's a result of it. You have people now investing to turn someone into a trillionaire. So the folks that aren't able to put money to work, they're probably falling further behind because that gap is now wider.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
That's what it kind of, it was kind of a wake up call to me in that respect.
Yeah. Now it feels like if you became a millionaire, it'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, lightweight.
You got to start somewhere, Dave.
Yeah. Rage, Kev, jump in here anywhere if you want to. I just that went through me.
Yeah. It's a big number. And the other thing is I saw that Elon Musk's net worth now is the equivalent to the four people behind him.
Wow.
Yeah. So they took like Larry Ellison and a couple other folks and they said, yeah, now you add up Bezos got divorced. So obviously that
right.
dinged him. But the four people, so two through five, you add those up. And I think they're maybe just under what Elon Musk is. And that pushes like Warren Buffett for a long time, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett were like one and two.
Right.
You know, but again, they're not involved in growing their businesses in the same way. And all these other guys that are growing, that's just the way those numbers compound and work.
Okay. How much of that, like the SpaceX thing, yep. is really just kind of based on some form of BS?
Well, it's paper. It's a paper game, right? The only way that is realized is if the stock stays at its value, he cashes it out, he turns it into cash. But no, he would never do that, right? What he is probably doing is he's taking that net worth, he's probably working with banks, he's probably borrowing against that so he doesn't have to pay taxes. And then he's taking that and leveraging it and using it to buy other things. And he's buying assets versus having cash sit there.
And how rich do you have to be to use that game plan?
You're 5-10 million probably in that range where if you're going to a bank and looking to leverage assets. Yeah. That's where the bank is going to look at you as not as much of a risk and you're not having to do personal guarantees and all of those types of things. But yeah, banks or financial firms like Stifel or, you know, somebody else, they're going to let you do a margin loan on your brokerage account. You got to have, enough money in there and the right stuff that they're going to look at saying, okay, yeah, you don't have to sell your stock. You just pledge it. We'll give you a line of credit so you can use that money. Now you own the stock. If the stock goes up in value, you keep the value, but you owe us the money. Yeah. So I could go and I could borrow from somebody else and pay that off. And I borrow that money. It's not taxable. So a lot of people are always saying, well, how is so-and-so not paying any taxes or down trip? Because they use leverage. They don't sell assets most of the time.
Yeah. I've never felt poorer and dumber.
I'm so glad I come in here right at the start of the show just to put you in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, no, shame on me. John Moriarty, E3 Wealth, if you want to talk to him about your financial planning or need some business coaching or anything to do with owning a business or an entrepreneurship, just go to e3wealth.com. I've known John forever. Vouch for him. Cool, cool dude. Dress is weird, but cool dude. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, sir.
Back in on Monday on DGS. Dave will be back in a couple of minutes. Just a few minutes left here before we get to the bottom of the hour, H, and you have a DoorDash story? Is it DoorDash specifically?
It is specifically okay. DoorDash, and I wanted to just kind of get your guys' thoughts on this. We were just talking about AI a little bit in that last segment with E3 Wealth's John Moriarty. Well, DoorDash is launching a conversational AI shopping assistant. And let me tell you about it. And then I want to hear if you guys could see yourselves actually using this in practice. So it's a shopping assistant that's going to build a shopping cart based on the customer's description of what they're looking for. And it's called Ask DoorDash. And you can, grocery shoppers can like put in a recipe link. They can put in a photo from a cookbook or even like snap a picture of their shopping list. And then DoorDash will materialize a shoppable cart of food items. DoorDash says that the new feature is going to reduce the hassle of cart building for these e-commerce customers. But for me, I look at that situation and I go, I don't really struggle with that myself. Like, if I need something for a recipe, it's very easy to just look up the recipe and then type in exactly the brands and the ingredients that I want.
Yeah.
I don't personally want to hand that control and that decision making and that nuance over to AI. Not saying it wouldn't do a good job, it's just I have no problem doing that myself. But I'm wondering if, I mean, is it appealing to either of you? Could you see like a circumstance in which that would be better than just taking the 2 seconds to type in the brand that you want?
It seems like a really bad idea. Mainly, I mean, especially in something like when you're talking about cooking and recipes and stuff, that requires a certain element of precision. Like, you have to get all the ingredients right. You have to get the ratios at least somewhat right. And, yeah, if I say, like, I'm thinking about making a pot pie, well, I have either, I know exactly how to make a pot pie already off the top of my head, or I have a specific recipe that I'm going to follow. So if I already have the specific recipe in front of me, then I know it's like, okay, I need potatoes, uh-huh, and I need peas, and I need
chicken.
Yeah,
it's like, it feels like it's addressing a hardship that I don't think of as a hardship.
Also, how does it know what you have in your house already?
Yeah, I would assume, I would hope it doesn't.
Well, this is my point. Like, so yeah, when you're building out a recipe, you're like, okay, I got salt, I got flour, I got sugar. Yeah. I don't have any paprika. I might need that. Like, you still have to go through the steps to figure out what you do and don't need, or you're going to end up with multiples of things you'll,
yes,
never use.
Yeah. And so you might be thinking like, oh, well, why would I just settle for whatever brand of item that DoorDash picks? Well, you can still go in and swap brands. But again, I ask, like, okay, if I'm having to go, yeah, in and check all
just
of the
do
work,
it the first time.
Yeah, I will just do it myself. It just feels like a shiny new toy, but
yeah,
I can't see actually applying this to my life.
I'm going to say something really jerky about this tool.
Let's hear it.
This feels like a pacifier for giant babies that don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of conjure up questions like, how lazy are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because tell me, if you're that lazy, are you even going to make the thing anyway?
Excellent.
You're just going to go back to, yes, DoorDash and order McDonald's.
Excellent question. Show on KMOX. Dave had to step out for a second, but he should be back any minute now. But we have another Dave joining us. Dave Murray is here for the weather forecast. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine. An extended bathroom break, I'm guessing.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, he's on
we
a very
say that because that would be great content.
He's on a very important FaceTime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he should be back any minute now. A gorgeous day in St.
Yeah.
Louis, Dave.
We're 76 right now, and the dew point's 47. It doesn't get any better than that in June. Welcome back, Andrew.
Hello.
You said that just like Dave says it. Dave Murray.
Yeah.
You just,
yeah,
you just
on
replied
purpose,
to him in his own side. Yeah, that's,
yeah,
good. That's a pretty good impersonation. Now do the weather, Andrew.
It is.
Wait, what do you think dew point means?
Dew point in his direction.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what direction the dew point is pointing.
Basically. I have no idea if that's true or not.
I actually like your restaurant. Well, if I know how to make a pot pie, I'm going to make a pot pie. If I don't, I'm going to have instructions. And if I don't do that, I'll order it from DoorDash.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's true.
Really,
that's it.
Not really what I said.
I know. I paraphrased.
That was actually kind of a compilation of what all of us said.
Yeah.
It's well, good. It's like.
Well done. Good
it's,
summary.
It's like making it, like Rachel pointed out, making a shopping list is so not even a part of cooking that they don't even factor it into the process of cooking.
Well, and there are things where it's like giving up your agency and giving up making your own choice is actually going to make the process more difficult. We're talking about DoorDash created this new tool that should be coming out soon where you can be like, I want to make a beef Wellington tonight, and then it'll just automatically build a cart for you and like the grocery store or whatever tough. With the ingredients
don't pick that
you want.
One. That's a tough one to
yeah,
make.
Yeah, that takes technique.
Fine, spaghetti. But then you still have to go through and make sure, like, well, I already have the noodles. I already have the spice I need. I don't like that brand of Parmesan cheese. And my whole point was, it just feels like they created this tool that it's not actually going to add anything to your life.
It's a way to sell you more stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And as the conversation progressed, we all kind of arrived at the conclusion of like, yeah, how lazy are you if you can't just make your own shopping list? It seems like, for me, it would be more difficult to go with the AI's choices that it made for me. Yeah. And it would be more difficult to go in and change those things I need changing than it would be for me to just do it myself.
Oh, I'm afraid to visit my dad's grave because he'll come out and whip my ass because I get a taxi for my burrito, right? I mean...
and rightfully so. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, he's not in the wrong.
Well, I know this is not directly linked to that, but like AI makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It gets things wrong all the time. In fact, there was a study, I think I mentioned it last week, there's a study that shows AI is getting dumber because it's learning from all the dumb fake AI stuff that's out there in addition to the real information. So it's progressively getting dumber, at least the publicly available versions that feed off of the information of the world.
That's pretty funny. It's just going to collapse in on itself.
yeah, that would be great.
It's just a shame because the things we hear about when it comes to AI are usually things like this that make you go like, why would I do that? That's pointless. If I'm to the point where I can't even think for myself and make a shopping list, like I'm kind of too far gone at that point, right? AI could be used for like medical advances, like solving problems when it can't, like solving like financial problems or helping you with investing, like Jomo was saying earlier. That's never what we hear about. We only hear about like, we found a way for us to maximize profit on our Uber Eats platform. And it's just like, okay, well, no wonder so many people feel negatively towards it.
We can make the Star Wars people dance like it's West Side Story. Watch.
Do you guys think do you guys think in the next 10, 15 years there will be a new wave of Luddites who just want to live like it's 1972?
Probably. I mean, they probably exist now. So. I just wonder if the numbers are going to go up when people are like, okay, this is getting nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to use technology in more moderation than I currently
Amy,
do.
Amy, Mark Gores was talking this morning because Michael Kelly went to Florida for 36 hours and put his phone away. And she said that the day she no longer has this job, she would like to get a flip phone. But then they were talking about like, well, where are your Cardinals tickets and where's your plane ticket? And it's becoming very difficult to live without a smartphone.
Unless you're willing to live without those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Have a piece of paper.
But they won't let you. They won't let you. Most places are completely digital now for tickets, concerts, sporting events.
Concerts are. Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what's so sinister about these tech companies. Like, let me pick on Meta. This is something that you can get on your phone, which is something that we have made a part of our day-to-day lives. You are weird if you don't have a smartphone. Like, you're making things more difficult for other people in your job or trying to get into a concert or trying to pay for something, whatever. These tech companies, they go like, okay, so how can we capture even more of their attention on a device that they necessarily need to move through their daily lives? Because it's not like cigarettes where it's like, you know what, I won't go to the corner store and I won't buy a pack this morning. And yeah, it's going to be tough, but I'll be able to get through it. No, you still have, if you're trying to look at your phone less, you still have to look at it all the time for all of these different things. So it's just makes me wonder where we are going with all of this.
Yeah.
Which is why I write a check at the grocery store.
Oh, you're the one.
I'm the one.
Dave, thanks for holding us all up, Dave.
That line.
As long as you have the whole thing except the amount filled out in advance, you don't?
Yeah, to rip it out of the book. And I mean, it's a whole procedure.
Man.
And why do you do that?
No, I haven't done that in a long time.
Okay, good.
I haven't. I used to do it, though. And I'm sure there are some of the checkers, Schnucks or Straubs or Deerbergs. I remember that. I remember Dave doing that.
Yeah. you're Dave Murray. You can get away with one.
It's like adorable when you do it. It's like,
can you believe that?
It's my Dave Murray story. He wrote a check.
Do we do the weather?
No, we haven't.
Oh,
other than that, it was 76 right now, over 47.
Lovely.
Fantastic. Beautiful evening. Temperatures will drop out of the 70s very quickly before the sun goes down. 59 for the low. Tomorrow, southerly flow starts to come back, though it's slow. Partly sunny, a little breezy, maybe a spot thunderstorm, though I don't think there's much tomorrow. But we should warm up to about 83. So, you know, 8 degrees warmer than today. But 83 in the middle of June is still acceptable. Partly cloudy, 63 Tuesday night. Wednesday, southerly flow definitely in play. Partly sunny. It's kind of warm and humid and windy. I think we could see some wind gusts close to 40 miles per hour during the day on Wednesday. 89 degrees. There could be a spot thunderstorm, but I think during the day, very limited. Cold front starts to push in Wednesday night. That still looks like the best shot of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, though right now it looks like the focus is to our north, more so than St. Louis, but it's a long way off. A lot of people going AP over this thing. So just calm down, take a deep breath, and we'll figure it out. 70, though, for the overnight low, so it stays warm. Thursday, northwest flow is back. Partly sunny, 79 for the high on Thursday.
Dave, to your point, my TikTok has gone completely apey about Wednesday.
Yeah, it's insane. It's just, you know, this is not the time to freak yet. I'll be the first to let you know when you need to freak.
Fair enough.
He is on the situation, people. Don't worry. Dave Murray is checking the weather.
There we go.
Let the professionals handle it.
Boy, is that the truth.
I wonder if, like, I know in the old days, you didn't have to be a meteorologist. You could just be, like, the guy with the personality and throw a magnetic sun up against something.
Cliff St. James, Ollie Ramon. Those guys.
I feel like
kind of the station announcer.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of getting back to that, like, weather influencers. You know, like I'm seeing more and more of that. And it's like, why am I listening to you exactly? Mm.
That's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
You know, when you see stuff online, why am I even reading this?
Yeah.
And then you take a look at the picture or something and it's a 7-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Dave, you don't know what they don't know.
Dave, having now been out in your neck of the woods, I get why you moved there. Like that weather is really something.
The weather is... pretty easy to take. I mean, we're like 69 degrees right now, sunny.
Wow.
Light breeze coming off the ocean. There you go.
Bright. Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
But now there's a lot of negatives too.
Earthquakes.
A lot of people. I know. See, I look at nature differently. Yes, earthquakes, wildfires, St. Louis, tornadoes, floods, blizzards.
Yeah.
Every part of the country has something that you should probably need to worry about.
Is there a part that has nothing to worry about?
No, not really.
Because if it's not those things, it's probably snowstorms, right?
Right. Yeah. Flooding. Yeah, whatever. You know, there's always something. Does not matter. Hurricanes. Doesn't matter where you live.
Dang. Dude,
there's
always something. Grew up in a town where you could literally set the dirt on fire and pedophiles could trick or treat. So, like, I'm fine. I'll be okay. Dave, do the wildfires make it to Laguna?
Oh yeah, we've now. Let's see. Since we've been here, there has been one fire that got about a quarter of a mile away, and there's been another fire that was you could almost throw a football at it.
Oh
wow!
Yeah, and you were up on the roof, watering the roof down.
Ooh. Damn,
and the big Chinook helicopters coming in. One of the reasons we live where we live, fire station very close by, elementary school very close by. They're not going to let those things burn down. And then out in a kind of a wilderness area, there is this gigantic water tank that's underground, and it fills automatically. So these helicopters, they fly in, drop the hose down, it connects to the tank, they suck the water up, and off they go. It takes a matter of about a minute to fill these things up. And then they just, the one that was very close, they got it because that tank was there. And they had like five helicopters coming in. and they put the fire out in about 15 minutes.
Jeez.
They know how to fight these things. As long as the wind's not blowing 80, 90 miles per hour.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
All right, brother. Thank you, pal. We appreciate it.
You got it.
Welcome back, DGS and KMOX. Sweet 16 of seafood. That's all I need to say. Mm-hmm. Stick around. A few minutes away.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Get some ideas for dinner.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I have 16.
Nice.
You guys can go home.
All right.
I got it. I
have
got
good,
it handled.
Have a good evening.
Can I talk about ancient man?
Yes.
You know how I love to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be here without fermentation. I didn't realize this, but like 40, 50, 60, 70,000 years ago, we learned that you can't just eat fresh meat. You'll rabbit starve, they call it. And they realized that by burying meat and letting it sit for days or weeks, it softened it up. It created all this bacteria and enzymes, made it easier to digest. I guess they got used to the taste. And so they were eating almost all fermented meat. And civilization was sort of built on beer because water was so often contaminated. But they found that if they fermented it and turned it into beer, they could stomach it. And so people would drink it every single day. And then they were talking about how 300,000 years, give or take, we've had modern humans, people that we would recognize. And that they talked about, I've often thought of this, and they just took it head on. It wasn't until maybe 20,000 years ago that we discovered opiates. But before that, there was no relief. You had a toothache. You got bit by an animal. You're sick from a virus or something. You were just freaking miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no comfort. There was no anesthetic. There was no Advil. No penicillin. You were just miserable.
No gummies, huh?
No gummies. Well, until the guy figured out.
You have that plant.
The opium.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. And then everyone was wide on opium for thousands of years.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Just.
And yet we survived somehow.
Get this. You guys have probably heard this before. They have very established science that the early hunter-gatherers only worked 15 to 20 hours per week.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the time, they could do whatever they wanted to do. And they were talking about whether they got bored, whether they had the ability to be bored, you know, or if they just sort of like Wheeler, just, you know, one thing into another and didn't sit around thinking they're bored. Just fascinating, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that a little bit last week about the artworks that they would make. Like, they had time to make art.
Yeah. 70,000 years ago, people were making jewelry, which means they had time on their hands and, you know, something to do.